Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Like always, this podcast is completely free, so we'd like to give you a couple things first. Go to our Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Maybe I'll learn how to talk this time. Then go to Twitter, follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
at Comes Natural Pod.
Oh, he's doing it. God damn it. That just threw me off so bad. So awful. Go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, and review the podcast. And now we'll get started. Cody, go.
Welcome to Comes Naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike.
I am Cody. Welcome to
Episode 2,
Attack of the Clones of our Star Wars marathon.
Much better movie, but still not a great movie.
Not a much better movie.
It's much better.
No, it's not.
It's a slow climb up.
Much better.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's a lot better.
No, it's not.
It's better.
No, it's not.
Joe's just overcritical.
It is better. It's better than Episode 1.
How's it better than Episode 1, Mike?
Jar Jar had 4 lines in this one.
Yeah, and then Hayden Christensen had a lot of lines in this one.
He was bad, but he wasn't Jar Jar bad.
No. Just because he didn't speak with a weird accent doesn't mean that he didn't do horrible acting.
All right, well, let's just get right into it, motherfuckers. What'd you think? Cody?
It is my second favorite of the newer trilogy.
So it's number 2?
Of the newer ones, yes.
So you like the next one best?
Yeah. Ooh. For sure.
All right. Best thing, and we'll start with worst thing. Go worst thing.
Worst thing is Hayden Christensen's inability to act, for sure.
Okay.
Because he can't even emote very well. Like, he can't even show you. Like, the one time he shows you true emotion is when it's anger. And then that's it. Like, the rest of the acting's out the fucking gate. And he's just, I know a lot of it is, obviously, he didn't write the lines, but he didn't perform them as well as I think he should have. Which kind of falls back on the director as well. Like, Lucas should have been like, yo, you are not doing well at this. And I don't know how many takes they would have done with him. I mean, I don't know. But I'm guessing it was a bunch of takes.
Like, this is the best one. Let's just wrap it, guys.
You think by maybe like day 10 of shooting, he's just like, fuck it. Their first take, they're not getting better. We'll
they're
just
45 fucking, you know, or $45 million behind budget. 15 days over, and they're only on day 7.
I think Natalie Portman was like, that's so a creepy look.
Well, a lot of them, if you notice
Natalie
a lot of the
Portman's
shots.
Natalie Portman's a good actress, though.
Well, yeah. But if you notice a lot of the shots, she's not actually in them. So it's like him in front of a camera, so she doesn't actually have to be even on set. So, like, maybe it's just like
you think
him.
She did the off-screen lines?
Probably not. Because Lucas has a very
that's
static.
That's like an old-school thing to do, huh?
Well, he has a very static way of shooting shots, too, where he'll do wide shots, and then he'll do just solo shots for conversations. Very few times do you ever see a direct conversation going on, unless it's one of those multiple people ones, or when it's like an argument in a way where it's just too fast to be able to cut back and forth without making people want to throw up. So, like, the dinner scene, for example.
Yeah.
Like, he pulls the little weird alien pear over and, like, cuts it for her.
CG scene.
And then pushes over, and she's just, like, slides her fork into it. And I was like, well, he
that's
didn't
a metaphor.
Cut that. Her putting the fork in it?
Yeah. Because this movie's done.
Oh, that,
Mama.
That's... best thing about it, Cody. Your favorite thing about this movie?
The final battle scene at the end. After they get captured, and then the crazy monsters come out, and they have to fight them off, and then the rest of the Jedi show up, and then shit goes fucking south, and obviously the clone show up, and beginning of the Clone War comes about, essentially, the fight between Dooku and fucking whooping Anakin and Obi-Wan's ass, and then getting
I do like
handled.
Obi-Wan's, like after he first goes after him a little bit, and then he steps back and he's like, "Woo, shit, this guy's a lot better than me."
Yeah,
that's it. That's your favorite.
It's my favorite part of it. Yeah, for sure.
Joe, worst part of it?
I honestly think we're going to be all in agreement here with Hayden Christensen being the worst part of this movie. His acting is just absolutely atrocious, absolutely. And it seems like that's kind of how they wanted the character to be, because he is a teenager at this point in time, and he's obviously supposed to be going through those teenager changes, but then there's also the fact that he has this weight on him as being the chosen one, and as a teenager he seems to kind of have locked on to that, because you know how many times he sat there and bitched to Amidala about how Obi-Wan doesn't, you know, trust him, fair. Or it's not fair, and he throws something at the wall like a little pussy.
He's overly critical.
Yeah. And it's like, God.
Probably because he's seen you throw and he made fun of you.
Yeah. And you're a whiny little bitch that doesn't listen.
Ever.
Doesn't listen. Ever. Hey, what planet are you on now? Oh, Tatooine? But you were supposed to stay on Naboo. Ugh. So all that, and just the fact that it was written like that, but he acts it and horribly acts it.
The writing's bad, but I think a better actor could have
done better. Some more yes. to it.
Favorite part?
I'm not done with my stuff that I hate because carrying over from the first movie, I thought the CG didn't age very well at all. Like I remember, for the most part, when I first saw this movie, the CG was awesome, except for the pear scene. For some reason, the pear scene, even when it came out, looked absolutely atrocious.
Well, CG's gotten a lot better over the years, too. So
it has, but I mean, like, just at that point in time, even the pear scene, just for some reason, it just looked atrocious. But then, as with the first one, the CG doesn't hold up at all. There's times where you're just sitting there going like, oh, the way they jump onto an animal or jump off of a vehicle, and you're like,
yeah,
it just looks bad, totally bad. Those are probably pretty much my main concerns. So, with what I did like about the movie, I'm in agreement with Cody. The end. Battle when these
I thought you were gonna say the end, like the end when it was done, that end.
I'm gonna give it a little bit of credit because the end where the clone army shows up,
well, that's 30 minutes is pretty dope,
is pretty awesome, you know.
Yeah,
but everything
that's what
leading
made
up
it
to
way
that,
better than the first one,
and some of the plot lines and the, like we said earlier, the carryover of the Batman 66-esque, you know, have that certain gadget or, you know, such and such just so happens to happen at the time that it needs to happen. It's trash. It's absolutely awful. I hate it when movies do that a lot. And this movie, this franchise, tends to do it a lot, actually. But yeah, the end of the movie, the final battle, is what I enjoyed the most.
It's pretty good.
Mike?
Yeah. Worst part, I'll just skip the Hayden Christensen hate because it was pretty bad. My least favorite part outside of that was the car chase scene,
yeah,
through the city at the first. I don't know why. I think maybe because I even said it. It looked exactly like a Fifth Element scene,
which I think Fifth Element did a lot better.
Yeah, he's running from those people in the taxi cab.
Yeah,
like that's what it looked like, even because the car they were driving was yellow, and so it looked just like it. And it was a like this weird like metropolis city, like it felt like a Blade Runner esque city,
mm-hmm.
into it, just a little bit brighter, not as grimy. And that whole scene just didn't feel like it belonged in a Star Wars universe. Like, it just seemed weird to because I can't go to know, but I can't think of another time anything like that has ever popped up like that.
Well, a lot of the
urban
planets,
area,
a lot of the planets in Star Wars tend to be very singular. You have Hoth; it's very foresty, or not Hoth. Sorry, Hoth is snowy. Endor is very foresty. Tatooine is all desert. I mean, then so you have this other planet, Coruscant, that's all city.
But it felt like because they ran through like a nightclub, and it just seemed weird. It didn't seem like that belonged. And if you're gonna do that kind of city in Star Wars, I feel like there's 100 different ways you could probably do it better. Mm-hmm. That make it feel like it fits in the Star Wars universe somehow. It just felt really out of place. It felt, it didn't, that whole time you're watching it, it doesn't seem like you're watching a Star Wars movie, like at all.
I wonder how much of that would be because of the CG.
Well, like the whole area is CG, but I don't like that, like the idea of them like going to like this trendy nightclub-ish where like girls are like checking out Anakin as he walks through, and like he, there's, it's basically like a bar and grill. It's like a, it's like a Dave and Buster's in there, because you can see sports on the TV in the background. Like you can see weird alien racing and robot football and shit like that. Kind of took me out of it. So that was pretty bad. My favorite part as well too is the last about 30 minutes of it was pretty dope. I think that last 30 minutes is what made this movie, still as many things that was wrong with it, much better than the first one. Because I feel like if I watch this one again, like I got that last 30 minutes to look forward to, and it's pretty cool and it holds up pretty well. There's not a whole lot that holds up about one. Like you got, again, it's the last fight scene, but it's so chopped up and it's, you know, that's got some problems too in part one, but this one holds up better, I think. Still not great by any means.
So. No, not by a long shot at all.
So, Cody, you want to talk about it a little bit?
Star Wars. So, I mean, obviously, Mike didn't talk about the hate on Hayden Christensen, but obviously it was there. He just wanted to be a wee bit different and come up with something he hated as well, which... I don't completely hate the car chase scene. It's not definitely my favorite part. It's so so drug out for no reason. Like, it just doesn't need to be that far, because obviously
the dialogue, especially in that scene, but throughout the whole movie, is
piss poor by all comparisons.
Like even Obi-Wan's, it's like the stupid little jokes and stuff. Like when you're watching it, it feels like it was made for 10-year-olds. You know what I mean? Like, because they make that easy joke, they'll make a little kid kind of laugh. You know what I mean? It's not great.
Yeah, no. Obviously still setting up for the fall of Vader, or fall of Anakin, rise of Vader. That's because that's all, we said this last week, it's all these three movies are, is literally just give you a backstory of where Vader came from. So that way you can see when he goes through the progression that he does in the original trilogy. Ultimate evil, pretty bad father figure just in general.
Yeah.
And then redeems himself by saving his son and helping him escape, blah blah blah. But I mean, really awful. He's just like, he's like Jake Lloyd, who played Anakin in episode one, a child actor. A lot of child actors, not great.
The race. Yeah.
But he was more convincing as a little kid actor. Or a little kid character, than Hayden Christensen's teenage and later, you know,
early
adult,
20s.
Yeah, early whatever. It's just like even in episode 3, and we'll talk about it obviously next week when we watch it. He still doesn't listen very well. He's still not listening. He's fucking angry. It's ridiculous. So that character itself is just super flawed for being the most feared villain in all of Star Wars universe. It's like, yeah, but man, he was not a good person when he was younger.
No.
One of the big things in this one we talked about last week too is the beginning of the end for Anakin is when he goes to find his mother. He disobeys direct orders. Finds his mother, gets angry.
Before that too, you saw Palpatine was taking a big liking to him.
Oh yeah.
And he was like, you could tell from there, like, obviously he knows something, and you're like, okay, he's, you know, kind of in his ear a little bit, like, oh, about time they gave you an assignment, you deserve it, blah, 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 and kind of patting his ego and stuff, which Anakin clearly needs.
Yeah.
Because he's such a whiny little emo girl in it, so.
Yep.
I agree, he's a whiny emo girl for sure in that. But then he goes to Tatooine to find his mother, because he has a... oddly disturbing looking dream.
Yeah.
Just super weird. He goes Tatooine, finds out his mother's been sold. She was freed and married, has a family. Goes there, finds out she was taken, and that the her now husband got injured during it and has lost part of his leg. Finds out he has a stepbrother. Stepbrother has a girlfriend. We get to hear their names. They sound really familiar. Ends up, you know, obviously comes back in the third one. We'll talk more about that next week. Finds out his mother is taken by the Banta Raiders, or Tusken Raiders, as most people call them. Goes there. Was good. He sneaks in. Doesn't, you know, not bothering anybody. Cuts a hole that doesn't need to be cut. They literally just make a square. Wouldn't work really well. But it made a weird hole you had to step through. You know? Goes in there. Cuts her down. She was in a very awkward, very bad position, if you ever see it.
Yeah.
She's facing away, tied to something. Been beaten up. Does not look like she's in good shape. He gets her down. She dies in his arms before she has a chance to tell him how proud she is of him. He gets outraged and murders everything in that Tusken Raider village. Kids. Yeah. He comes out of the tent, just beheads two dudes in front of a bunch of kids, and then just murder, murder, murder. And then later he confesses that he murdered everyone there.
And for some reason, what's her face?
Natalie,
is like,
yeah, fucking Padme cool is like, it. Oh.
She's like, that makes you human. Yeah, I love you even so more.
Much because you love Yay. Your mom so much. Oh my God.
Yeah, that girl seemed boner. Like that.
it's horrible. It's absolutely awful. Because in real life, obviously this is a sci-fi film, but in real life, somebody would be like, oh, I murdered all these people because they kidnapped my mom, you know, and there were like little children and like space puppies. Murder them all. Dead. Murder,
even
death,
if you
kill.
Felt like the murdering was justified, like, you don't fall in love with that person for murdering.
Yeah. It's just,
murder's justified unless it's kids.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you convince me the kids were part of it.
It's
but like,
really like the beginning of, like, somebody should have saw that and been like, hey, he has no problem with killing people.
Well, the thing is, in Yoda,
when he gets angry,
the only person that really knows about it is because he confesses
is Padme. But I mean, like, alerts in her head should be going off. But like, this guy's
Yoda
not
knew
stable.
About it, right?
But no, Yoda felt a disturbance in it. He just didn't know what it was.
And
then later it's attributed. He thinks it's attributed to what's going on where Obi-Wan's at. Because remember, he gets the message and like, oh, and he gets that. Yeah. So it makes you think that he must be thinking that, because they bring, I mean, obviously they bring all their forces there because that's, there's a disturbance in the force. Then he gets a distress message from Obi-Wan where he gets attacked, and he must think that, you know. And then Anakin shows up there again, disobeying orders, this time kind of on Padme, because she does basically tell him that I'm going to go there and you got to
protect
me. But then he just fucking murders the shit out of those bug people. Granted, they're not good people.
No.
They were working in a factory making the droid army, but like, he could have easily just like knocked him down with the force.
Nah,
he's
okay
splitting
with that
bitches
one.
In half.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
that scene was actually pretty dope.
It was a lot better
there
than
was some dumb
the
stuff
kids,
in
but
it, but
gets his fucking lightsaber
cool.
cut in half
for no
a
fucking reason.
Yeah, and he's not using the goddamn force, like barely at all,
just
to like push
him.
One down.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
knock some shit over on him. Like,
right. Well, he does at one
throw
point
this
he throws those
belt thing off the tracks,
yeah,
man.
But like,
fuck up shit.
Yeah,
man.
he could be chewing through those machinery, and that he's just like gets knocked over by one, and then when his hand gets trapped. Obviously, it's foreshadowing because it becomes looks like a metal arm.
Yeah,
but his lightsaber is intact inside of it. All he has to do is
turn it on
and cut himself free. But then he just waits, and then like it perfectly. Which, by the way, I don't understand why it chops it the way it does.
That's what I said,
because it was formed that way, and then they put the little thing. And,
it
yeah,
does
whatever.
All that little stuff, and it's all welding on the side of it, and
then
suddenly
chop,
you have
like,
that one machine that just chops it right in half,
which
right
goes
where
right
his
lightsaber,
and it's like. What the fuck did what was the point of that? Like, it, whatever you
R2
were making
helps out
was destroyed.
Some, in that one.
In his
well, I mean, kind of, he knocks C-3PO under the fucking belt, and C-3PO stumbles all
well,
over.
Well, because C-3PO wouldn't get out of the fucking way, man.
This is true.
R2 had a
well, yeah, but
around.
Really,
yeah,
what he
R2
needed
had
to do
is,
like, make that bridge
his,
go back across.
Had to launch
well, but
his,
he saved What's-Her-Face.
Oh, yeah.
Getting,
yeah.
All the hot stuff pouring on her.
Yeah.
Molten metal.
Molted lava.
Oh, she'll get
but,
hot stuff.
But another thing where, R2 suddenly has rockets. Oh, how convenient.
That was a Batman 66 minute for sure.
Yeah. Because for some reason, he has them now, but not later, in the future.
Yeah.
He might. Maybe in the new ones.
Yeah, maybe in the new ones. But like,
away.
They malfunctioned at some point.
And then he got repaired?
Well, in part three, they wiped their memory, so maybe he doesn't know he has rockets.
Oh, he's like, huh.
So he doesn't
I
have
don't
a, he hasn't waited to look his own systems?
Yeah. He hasn't stumbled across it accidentally yet.
I actually have a problem with the fact that the Tusken Raiders take Anakin's mom as well. It's just, to me, it's weird. Does it not feel that weird to you guys that
they take her, but they bring her back to a like a little encampment that has families in it.
Yeah.
Like,
and then what are you doing to her?
Of the things we do know about the Tusken Raiders, they are not exactly good creatures.
No.
I mean, they take pot shots at pod races when they're driving through.
Yeah.
They are scavengers. They essentially attack Luke right before Obi-Wan finds him. They're not good, but like they did kidnap a woman. Obviously tortured her somehow because she's fucking beat up and obviously dies there.
But what's the ultimate goal of that?
Like, that's the thing is I don't know. It's
just another convenient trope just to like forcibly move along his character towards the dark side.
Unless we find out that Palpatine made them do it. He had an agent go there and
but it's them, all speculation, you know? Say that unless it's actually true, you know.
I agree. It's all just more reasons. It's just to develop Anakin into Vader.
Yeah.
Because when you get to episode 3, and we'll talk about it next week, his switch to the dark side is like literally a light switch on the wall.
Yeah.
He's like, lights on? Nah, lights off. I'm mad now, you know?
Yeah, I'm pissed off. I'm going to go around killing all my friends. It's like, what kind of moral compass do you have?
He doesn't have one, that's obviously.
That this is suddenly okay for you. Oh, but Emperor Palpatine said that he can help me save
Padme. Because I think she's going to die.
Yeah.
Even though you being evil is what kills her.
Yeah. And doesn't, if I recall right, Yoda at one point say, hey, these things that you're seeing aren't necessarily going to come true.
Yeah, but somehow Palpatine is more convincing, which some people would say that that's because he is able to manipulate Anakin's mind.
Right.
But it's still like...
But you're right. It is still more of like in episode 3, it's literally a switch that just gets flipped and suddenly... He's against Obi-Wan. He goes and murders little kids.
Well, I mean,
you know,
he kills Dooku against the word of everybody. Spoilers.
Yeah.
He wears black, by the way, right at the beginning of the movie. He's already in black.
Yeah.
You notice that or not.
Because he goes emo.
Yeah. He goes Spider-Man 3 on us. and then
that's where they got it.
Oh, my God. Back to this one. So, basically... You see that happen. You see the awkward, weird 7-year gap romance between Padme and Anakin blossom, as you could say. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more.
Which, I mean, there was something there in the beginning, but it was really weird that
And she fell even more in love with him.
After he admitted to murdering
men, women,
and children.
Like, he doesn't feel like he belongs. He has all these issues that he's going through. Then he tells her that he murdered the entire group of Tusken Raiders.
And that's what really like
and then she's
off.
Like yeah she's yeah. like sploosh. I'm like, what?
Like, woman,
that's what
you
gets
are,
you off, like
you are damaged, woman.
Yeah, I was like, what is wrong with you? What uncle touched you? It's a common thing, don't worry.
Uncle Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
well, not related, they're not Luke and Leia.
Yeah, that's gross. Sorry, go ahead.
That's a much later we'll get to that when we get to episode 4 and 5
yeah.
He's like, just him in general, like, you somehow gotta think, like, there's a lot of hype between him being when he becomes Robo Vader.
One of the cool things they do in this one is the whole the clones and Jango and Boba's.
That's
that part's
pretty
cool.
So the other half of the story is with Obi-Wan going to investigate this mysterious planet has been removed from the archives. He goes there, finds out it's a cloning facility. He basically finds out that a Jedi apparently set this up. Air quotes if you didn't see me on this audio podcast. Then he does a little investigation, meets the person who's doing it. Somehow, the only thing, one of the big things that bothered me about that, by the way, is bounty hunters, in general, aren't good people.
No.
Especially in the Star Wars universe.
Yes.
Like, when they say bounty hunters, it's like, those are, it's a fancy word for mercenaries.
Mm-hmm.
They will do things for money. Usually they're bad things for money. So, they think they're working for the Jedi, who are on the good side, but yet they're willing to clone
a bounty hunter.
Well, obviously, I mean, that's no just morals, reputation but... that we perceive of it. Doesn't necessarily mean they're all
awful. So far, we haven't really found any that are good. Nice people,
right? Smugglers are nicer than these guys.
Yeah, which is worse, because smugglers technically but it are doing sense, stuff that's illegal.
If
yeah.
a bounty hunter is like super dope at his job and is a good warrior, basically, it makes sense that that's who you want to make a...
Very true.
A well, yeah, but they brought Jango to them. So yeah. the Jedi, that's what I mean, is like they didn't have any... They just automatically said, oh, I guess the Jedi want him, so we'll clone him. It just makes... That's the one thing that, like, they knew he was a bounty hunter.
It wasn't really the Jedi who did it.
Ultimately, it makes sense
because it's actually
I would have liked it to be better. Like, they find... Like, they tell him who it is, and Obi-Wan, like does, like, a research and says, oh, he's a known bounty hunter, and then says, oh, I need to investigate this. But once they tell him it's a bounty hunter, it's like, they're just skipping all the steps so we know he wants to investigate him, you know what I mean? But... you get to meet young Boba Fett in this one, because he's the unaltered clone of Jango, so it's not really his son. Mm-hmm. He raises him as son. He's also a little asshole.
The most action that he does in any of the movies.
That's a good point.
It is.
When he fires on Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, without question, too, that was, like, the best part about that is Jango and Obi-Wan's getting in a fight, and... Boba just runs into the ship, opens up fire.
Yep. He's like, nah.
He's like, fuck you! Yeah.
He finally did something.
And you see what Boba wants, or why he wants to be what he is, because he sees his dad do all the cool stuff, fly around his jetpack, shoot a flamethrower, is a gunslinger, even though his guns are...
Two guns up in the air, flying away.
Two guns, but like, Boba obviously picks a more powerful gun because his bolt caster is way better than his dad's shiny little pistols that... Could do damage, but don't ultimately do any damage.
Hey, they killed that one Jedi.
Yeah, but that one Jedi was a bitch, though.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't kill the ones that counted, though.
That's true, but he did some good damage.
Did Deadshot that rhino thing?
Yep.
That was pretty dope. And then lost his head. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Lost part of his gun. Destroyed it. Yet another fucking jetpack.
Yeah,
his jetpack's like Anakin's fucking lightsaber. He cannot hold those at all.
Nobody could hold on to a lightsaber. Like, at the most crucial moments, no one could hold on to a lightsaber in this movie.
Kenobi's was fine.
Even Windu lost one at one point. Mm-hmm. Got it right back, but he did
But he got fucking assaulted by a giant
creature. You guys feel like, watching this, I obviously am familiar with Star Wars. I've seen him a bunch of times, the original ones. But you're, like... obsessed with it more so than
I wouldn't say obsessed.
Yeah, but yeah, I felt like
beyond obsession.
I felt like going from the original trilogy to this one and like expecting all the Jedi to be super badass, and they're kind of not. Like,
yeah, I mean, because
it's disappointing, right?
You mean that it's disappointing that they're not badass in this one newer ones?
Because you build up the Jedi in the original trilogy, and Luke becomes a Jedi. And
sort of.
Well, yeah, but
self-appointed Jedi.
Yeah, but he's like super badass, you know. And like as the movies go on, he gets more and more cool shit. Vader, super badass, and we know he was a Jedi at one point.
I mean,
but
once he loses his arms and legs, we never actually see him do anything. He's just feared. Like,
well, yeah, but like the force jokes,
he's
like,
one of the few people.
Even when he's fighting Luke, like he's doing cool shit. But then you go, so like in my head, I felt like the Jedi should be a lot cooler than what the Jedi are in these ones. Like Mace Windu is like the only one that kind of holds up that thought process.
Well, what makes the focus, the main focused Jedi that we think of, Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, is the Skywalker bloodline. They have the innate ability to use the Force better than most. So like... I mean, even with, you saw Yoda, obviously is old, but you saw Yoda can do some cool stuff. He absorbs lightning, redirects it, completely absorbs it, was able to pull stuff. But even he had to struggle to, like, stop fighting Dooku to save Anakin and Obi-Wan. So you see that. But, like, with Vader and Luke, it's known that they are better at using the Force.
Well, they also mention in this movie, Windu tells Yoda, like, hey, like, basically, like, should we tell them, like, our force isn't, like, as strong?
Yeah, because
like
there's... So, the story behind that, which they don't really tell you in this, and it's later explained, the reason that the Sith keep their numbers low is because you share the ability. So the force is basically spread about the more you have. So the less you have, the I can't remember what they call it, not the Order of Two, but whatever it's the reason they always have two Sith Lords is to keep that ability low. So when they train them, they basically focus the force more. With the Jedi, there's so many of them that it gets lessened, and the ones that do have, and the reason they get killed so easy, I'm guessing, I extrapolate from it, is they don't know how to use the force as well. Okay. So they're easily taken down by laser blasters. And obviously, number-wise, completely overwhelmed.
I'll give them that. The droid army comes out fucking swinging. It just seems like the most of them are...
Yeah, they're not in a depth. Yeah, because I mean, the ones that are dope survive longer. But even the ones that...
Windu's pretty dope.
Obviously, he runs into an immovable object when he fights Palpatine. Future fights Palpatine. So, like, when he fights that, he's obviously going up against somebody who at this point we didn't know could use the Force. And then we find out that he's, like, one of the most powerful Force users. So that kind of thing. I mean, he holds his own for the most part, and then trusts Anakin at the wrong point and pays the ultimate price and, you know, gets chop suey and thrown out a window. But we'll talk more about that next week.
Next week, kids.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Joe?
That's the
dumbest thing ever.
Which one?
About the force being distributed. The more people that are distributed to.
Sounds like Highlander.
It weakens everything. So then you're basically saying that the force is an expendable commodity.
Well, that's kind like of. A outside
and then, canon. And then at the same time.
Explanation. Though,
the
right?
midichlorians are what? The more you have, the more you can tap into it?
Yeah, midichlorians
Skywalker's got a fuck ton of them. Yeah.
So the midichlorians are kind of always
forgot about, though.
Yeah, but it's still canon. And I don't know. That just seems like the dumbest, most garbage thing explanation
it's
ever.
It's a cause and effect without an actual purpose, but yes. They needed to give it a reason why, but they also needed to give a reason that the Jedi aren't able to take down so few Sith Lords, basically. And no. I mean, really, and it's not even that because it's not the sole thing is that there's so many of them. Yes, there's more of them, so the Force isn't, but the Jedi that they do have can't manipulate the Force as well because they're still rebuilding their ranks from the previous wars that we never actually get to deal into, like with what is still canon is like the Knights of the Old Republic games. Those are still canon in the series. Like that is the history's past, and the Jedi were much more prevalent. And then they got betrayed from their inside own ranks, and that's when the Sith actually came about and destroyed the Jedi from the inside. And so they're rebuilding it. So we're in the midst of them. Yes, there's a bunch of masters, and they're the ones that survive until Order 66, and obviously get betrayed again. It's a vicious cycle, kids. Someone's not paying attention to history. If you don't, what's that saying? If you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it or something, whatever it is.
Yep.
Same idea. It's the idea behind it. So it's not so much that because there's so many of them that they can't use the force as well, or it separates because there's not enough of them. They can't teach those Jedi to use it as well because they're slowly building up, and obviously Anakin comes about and murders all the younglings. Spoilers for next episode. And then obviously they get dwindled down even more because at the end of this trilogy, there's really only two Jedi out there still.
Yeah,
because they
have Obi-Wan and Yoda.
Yeah, and obviously they both go into self-imposed exile. One guarding the one of them, and then obviously the second child is given to someone who is outside that their own family and everything. So, but yeah, I agree. It's a very dumb concept. But that's what they went for. So. Whatever.
I don't know. I didn't write it. That kind of ruins it for me.
I don't know.
I mean,
You gotta also remember that he's building a story off of random lines he wrote in a trilogy 30 years previous, or 20 years previous.
Oh, I got that. He had the basic idea behind these original three.
Yeah, and then not as so he fleshed out, as he made lines like the Clone Wars and other things. he then had extrapolated on that later on, and those ideas weren't the best way to get to where he was at.
No, they weren't.
It's basically like trying to, like, you make cookies and they were awesome, and you got to remember how you made them because you didn't really write down the recipe. You kind of shot in the wind, and you made awesome cookies. And you're like, well, guess what? I have to make up this recipe, and it has to be a good one.
Edible, and they're okay, but they're not quite what the same you wanted cookies. Them to be. Yeah.
And then, you know, 30 years later, someone else takes a shot at it, and hopefully it's much better cookies.
It looks
like better cookies, and we'll see if they actually taste like those better cookies. But, I mean, I trust JJ, but
Real quick, you want to give the ratings?
So mine would be, I told you what my rating was last week. It's going to be a 3, if not a 3.5, but probably a 3, same as last time.
Joe?
Probably the same.
What did I say last time? I said 2.5 last time.
I said 2.5 last time.
I think you said 2 last
time. I said 2.
Oh, no, that's right. You said 2 last time. I'm willing to give this a 2.
Worse?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're wrong. It was better than the first one. Yeah. it is. I'll give this... Can it be 2.75? Because 3 seems like...
You can
like
give it whatever you want. It's your scale.
2.75. Almost 3.
Hayden Christensen really kills it for me.
Yeah, but he's not Jar Jar. Because
it's a lot of the movie.
He's not Jar Jar, dude. You're basically saying you'd rather watch a Jar Jar movie than a Hayden Christensen movie. And come on, you know in your deep in your heart of hearts. I
wouldn't watch either of them.
Yeah, but you're saying you'd rather, though.
Mm-mm.
That's what you're saying by your shitty ranking system.
This is very true. Yeah.
You want to get into some of the Star Wars stuff, some of the pictures and stuff, and some of your theories? Are we still?
Sure.
Go.
I'm not sure we have enough time.
We have plenty
for all
of time.
That.
Yeah, considering you're going to go for another 2 hours.
We have another
hours.
Hour. just kidding. I won't go a full another hour. Maybe not. So, obviously, ramping up to. We're essentially a month away.
Woohoo!
Not exactly a month, but we're pretty close to a month away.
Close.
More and more stuff is coming out. Obviously, we've had the 2 teasers, the full-length trailer, 2 international trailers that had new footage, but were essentially the same. Well, the first international trailer was almost the exact same thing with a couple extra elongated scenes. And then the Japanese trailer came out.
It was crazy.
Which was so different.
So much more action in it.
Like, the scenes they did show that were the same were longer, so you got more context out of them. You still don't know what's going on. Like, you get... The basis is... Han Solo shows back up on the scene. He's been somewhere, doing something with Chewie. And the reason he comes back is because some danger with this First Order coming through. And then you get the secondary plot, or even could be main plot, that Kylo Ren... who is not Luke Skywalker, is mounting this offensive to come after someone. We just don't know who it is yet. And I think it's basically going to run into the same thing. It's Luke. Because what we've now know is Kylo Ren has got a very big fucking man crush on Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, designs his costume after Vader. His saber's red like Vader's. He has a voice modulator just like Vader. He's not messed up like Vader,
but he wants to finish his work.
Yeah, we see in the full length trailer that he's promising the burnt melted helmet of Vader, helmet and face mask of Vader, that he's going to continue where his duties or whatever you really want to call him, what he started basically. So we know that's there. The Empire's obviously was not weakened enough by. What happened in episode 6. Yes, they blew up the second Death Star that wasn't really finished, but 31 years later, they're right back on top, and I think they're winning. Like, the Resistance, as they're called now, the Resistance, not the Rebels, are just that. They're resisting the First Order, the Empire, but they are, I mean, it just looks like they're not doing a very good job. Poe, their lead pilot, is definitely in trouble because you see him in the full length trailer being tortured by Kylo Ren. My theory, which one of the pictures from Entertainment Weekly kind of leads you to believe, is Finn isn't truly a stormtrooper. He's there in disguise, hence the reason a black guy can be a stormtrooper. You fucking racists.
Yeah, internet.
Yeah. Mm. But he's there, and it's confirmed, basically, that he frees Poe. Oscar Isaac's character, Poe, which I can't remember his last name, something weird. Because you see him in this picture where he's standing there, he's got his helmet off, and Poe's standing there with handcuffs on, and he's, like, essentially getting him out of there. And then there's some kind of ruckus. I think what happens, again, theory-wise, Poe says, hey, I need a way to get off. And Finn's like, well, we can't be together. It's just too dangerous. So what I'll do is I will go make a distraction. I'll jump in a TIE fighter, start blasting the shit out of these dudes, and you can make your escape.
Mm-hmm.
I'll distract him. I'll go. I'm less important. I'm here to help you. I'm here to save you or whatever. He does the whole thing where he shoots up the hangar bay. They come after him. He crashes on the planet. Then obviously the First Order comes after him because you see on Jakku, you see that the TIE fighters are just blasting the shit out of that little village where he just happens to be, right near where he crashed, landed in this TIE fighter, his mangled TIE fighter.
Yeah.
They come after him. Bunch of other shit happens. I don't know how, but somehow Kylo Ren is also somewhere where they are. I think as they track him somewhere to that more foresty with the big river and the forests. And then, and to your point too about the vast planets we see that they're all kind of the same. This one, Jakku looks like more of a Tatooine planet, is more deserty.
Yeah.
The one they go to with the rivers and the big trees could be the same place you see the temple at, or what you think is the temple. But also you get the snowy forest scene where it may not be snow, by the way. It may be ash. Because there's that picture or the video in the trailer where you see that big blast hit the forest and it burns it. Oh. That could be ash fallout from that explosion.
I suppose, yeah.
Again, just extrapolating from what I've seen. So we made that lightsaber fight you see with the very first time you ever see Kylo Ren pull his saber and pop the extra guards out to make it look like a broadsword looks like it's on a snow, like in snow, and it very likely could be.
Nobody breathes.
Yeah, no breathing. Yeah, so who knows what it actually is.
But it would kind of make sense as well, because I doubt that Finn and Rey are actually going out to try and find Kylo Ren.
Yeah, exactly. He's chasing him down.
Yeah. Yeah, and some, like, they're trying to run away from something, and he chases him down.
Yeah, so he follows him in there, whatever. There's in the first full-length trailer, you see Rey crying over what looks like a dead body. She's obviously visibly upset. She's got tears in her eyes. Her eyes are red. Tremendous acting just in that one scene, I can tell you right now. Way better than a certain person in other movies.
Hayden Christensen.
You suck at life in acting. The life thing was more of just a casual thing.
But the dead body is supposed to is guessed to be
Chewbacca. Chewbacca, because in this small clip you see in that first trailer, you see wispy hair and what looks to be brown. The Japanese trailer that came out, or Korean trailer, I can't remember which one it is. It has a bunch of Asian-ish words. I was going to say something super racist.
I know, I was waiting.
Asian-ish words on there. I don't know which one it is, because every time you see it, it says something else. Korean, Japanese, Chinese, whatever. It's not Chinese. I don't think it's Chinese. The letters don't look right. In my head, I said something.
Bandolier. It looks like a bandolier.
It looks
like
a bandolier. It looks like the wispy hair of Chewbacca. But then the figure on the left, because you get a bigger, you get a more clear view, looks like a light brown jacket, which looks like Finn's jacket.
Mm-hmm.
So my theory is, and one of the pictures you see that was released in Entertainment Weekly, is that Kylo shows up. He starts to fight Finn because you see Finn pop the saber. You see Ren start to kind of come towards him. They get in a fight. Somehow Finn gets downed by Kylo. Chewbacca somehow steps in and gets his arm cut off. He goes down. She's basically down by him. He pops the saber next to her head. She has no choice other than to fight. Picks up a saber and realizes that she's also a Force wielder. Boom. She's a Jedi too.
Hmm.
That becomes your first female Jedi on camera that we know of. I mean, obviously you see him in this one, but like real main character, female.
Yeah.
So before we even get a chance to maybe even see Jade, who is Luke's kind of wife. I don't know if she's in the movies, but Be super dope if she was. She'd be older, but pretty awesome.
You think George Lucas is going to watch them?
He's already seen them. He's already seen the first one.
Has he?
Yeah, they just did a screening. What did he say? Everyone says it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Is he like kind of like, fuck you guys about it? Like,
no, he's like, terrific job.
Or is he just like, oh, thank God.
Well, he's probably thank God. But as he's being very clammed about it, because everyone is. And speaking of early screenings, if you guys didn't know, the gentleman who just passed away, who was...
Oh, did he actually pass?
He passed away. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Did get a chance to see not complete edit of it, but essentially the whole movie streamed together. He got to view it at his home with his wife, set up just by Disney.
Security all around the building.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. They signed non-disclosure agreements. Obviously, he passed away, so he wasn't going to talk to anybody here. But his wife said that he enjoyed it quite a bit. She obviously didn't say anything about the movie other than the fact that he felt that it was as good as the other ones, if not better. So that's the most she could say about it.
Yeah.
Plus, he didn't want to press a grieving widow about Star Wars the day after her husband died. She made the statement to the press.
Right. But I will say, how amazing is it that they allowed this to happen? And I didn't know that they actually... I didn't know that they were actually screened it at their house. I would have figured that they would have flown him out like a studio or something.
Yeah, he can't travel. He couldn't travel. He was literally at the end. That's why they did it the way they did, because his doctor said, hey, you don't have months. Wow. You have weeks, if not days.
Wow.
So Lucas reached out to him.
Yeah.
And Lucas and Disney reached out and said, hey, we'd like to do this for you. And then they basically flew a representative from Disney and Lucas out. Let him film, let him view the movie in his home, and then, unfortunately, a couple days later, he did pass away. But he was able to see it.
They kept it pretty hush hush that he was able to see it too.
Well, they said out loud that they were going to show it to him. They just didn't say when or where.
Well, I'm saying, like, nobody knew he saw it until he passed away. Yeah,
the Disney ninjas showed up, said, "Hey, movie's here." They didn't do like the smoke bomb because they didn't want to scare him, but showed up, said, "Hey, here's the movie. Watch it, enjoy it." By the way, you have to sign these NDFs and, you know.
Yeah.
Boom. So that was pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Super awesome. Mainly because I don't think they wanted a sick person breaking into Skywalker Ranch again.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no.
And having to pass a long test.
Yep.
But Danny McBride. Yep. Fanboys.
No, yeah.
Fanboys.
Yeah.
It's bad because this was like a real life story. It was a good story. You know, that I got to see it, but like I instantly went to Fanboys. I was all like, I wonder if you had to pass a quiz. If they're like, if they made them like do things where it's like, no, you got to prove you're a legit Star Wars fan. Yeah. But the pictures they posted, he was super Star Wars nerd. So it's pretty cool. Yeah. It's pretty, pretty impressive that he was able to watch it.
They gave him a sweet poster ahead of time. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, pictures of him with the poster.
Got some cool swag.
Yeah.
So that's dope. Yeah. Simon Pegg, who, if you don't know, is an actor.
Oh, what?
Has been probably the biggest anti prequel trilogy ever. Like, the loudest voice against those movies, the ones we're currently watching. And he's obviously, you guys probably know, but he's in the new one, though the role's not announced, and you probably won't even know it's him, it looks like, from the picture they show. But he has been on record of saying, like, it is, like, it makes you feel like it's Star Wars again. Like, what was his exact words? Like, but he's, like, glowing about it. Like, he says it's fantastic. And he's super into it, so... I just hope all these people are right, that it's super dope, because it needs to be, especially the first one.
Yeah.
Like,
coming out the gates with the next one.
Yeah, the next ones are hopefully good, but this first one has to be good, you know?
I mean, it's...
I don't see how it could be bad.
It makes me feel better, because JJ did take so much time building to it. Like, he rewrites like a motherfucker, because originally he wasn't going to write it. They had someone else penning it. And then eventually it got to a point where he's like, I have to co-write this because the things I want to have done, or the way I want to see things, because he's very controlling. Like, he has a lot to say with what he, I mean, because like people say, like, they call the newer Star Treks J.J. Abrams Star Treks. Technically, he just directed them. he didn't write the screenplays. He didn't even co-write the screenplays. Someone else did. But I'm pretty sure they worked under his supervision. Like, this is what my vision would be.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, it's his people that made the special, that did the special effects, and his people that did all that. This is also, like, he's even more in this one. But the only thing that really bothers me, and it's less and less more as it gets closer, is the fact that he doesn't want to do any more of them. Like, he wants to stop with, he's stopping with 7. So he's not going on to 8 and 9. They got someone else to do 8 and 9. He's not doing this in the spinoffs.
Well, he just has to set the tone. Like,
well, that's what I mean. So I'm happy with that. Like, but
you're hoping that you don't lose that detail.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. Like, I hope, like, because it's passing from one set of people to, like, another group of people. That, like, obviously, it's still
suddenly go.
It's still Disney and Lucas. But
they don't suddenly go, oh, let's go a little bit this direction. Yeah. Like, the,
no, I don't think they will.
Like,
I
the
think,
camera
I think
work
Marvel
and everything is just,
yeah,
like,
I mean, that's really what,
different.
What was different between the original trilogy, well, and the fact that they used the CG crutch in the newer ones, but
it was a very tonal change.
Yeah, but just different because, yes, Lucas wrote the originals, but he didn't direct the originals, right, and he didn't write the screenplays originals. So he had very little other than being executive producer and being there and, like, being kind of like the force behind it.
Yeah.
Beyond the that stuff, like, obviously he was, his company made the special effects, they designed all these things. When they went to the prequel trilogies, he was a lot more in the making of it. So he was in the director's chair, he was in the writing chair, and you can kind of see, like, didn't go as well. They were still awesome. I like them. I like them less, obviously, than the original trilogy. But they're not awful enough for me to, like, you know, never watch them again, obviously, because
you own them.
Several versions of them.
Yep.
And we're watching them again.
Yeah.
So.
But
to be fair, we also watch Dragon Slayer. So
it's
not
part of torture theater, though,
to watch shitty movies for this podcast.
Yeah.
Might be a much better movie.
Dragon Slayer?
Yeah.
No.
Nah.
You may not remember that one very well.
Maybe better than part one.
Maybe better than part two.
The acting, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny we talk about the special effects because, like, the original obviously invented a lot of special effects capabilities and do things. These a lot of miniatures, practical effects in a way. Not building spaceships, but, like, miniatures of spaceships to blow them up. The prequel trilogy, as I said, fell into the trap of the CG crutch where they use CG so much. I mean, even for set pieces, like, there's even one I saw, like, on this one where Yoda is sitting there and he's feeling disturbance and Mace Windu walks in the room. You can tell he didn't walk through the actual door.
No, that it was super CG door.
Yeah, like, it was flat versus his 3D shape, and I was like, oh shit, like, that was rough.
Well,
like, it was off angle and everything.
We've talked about this before on the podcast. There was a stretch of time, and that's, like,
oh,
these
was,
Star Wars
yeah,
movies
yeah, for
are
sure.
Right smack dab in the middle of that stretch where CG all of a sudden became more affordable and a viable for everyone option. And it was such this new thing that tons of people and movies and studios went way overboard with it. So now you're starting to see the more practical effects starting to come back and people realize, like, CG should be an enhancement.
Exactly.
The whole world shouldn't
yeah.
be built
and
on
it's like
that.
On the prequel trilogy, they use it so heavily.
Yeah, it's rough.
But the problem is, back then, it looked amazing. Like, you're like,
no.
You
yeah.
didn't see it then. But now, looking back at it, compared to what we have now, because of the special effects.
But
of,
it did look so different than the original
oh,
Star
for sure,
Wars.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
That
it had,
people are like,
brighter
you
colors,
know.
Shinier ships, better looking everything.
A fucking city.
Yeah.
A weird nightclubby city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the Schumacher district. You're welcome, Joe.
Now I hate that place even more.
Schumacher is his Adrian Brody. I don't know if you know that or not. For sure.
Really is.
My
only difference is that Joel Schumacher can look back on his stuff and go, yeah, that was actually pretty crap.
Yeah.
Adrian Brody actually likes the shit that he's done.
Fuck him. Fuck him. But yeah. So in the new one, obviously there's a lot more technology difference, because it is 31 years difference, literally. But the cool thing about it is they use a lot of cool practical effects. Like BB-8, if you guys didn't know, is actually a real droid. It works in real life.
Yep.
If you didn't see the D23 where they showed off the very first footage of Star Wars and they showed off the We got the character names and we got descriptions. They actually had BB-8 come out on stage with the executive producers and drive around on actual, like, with live people around him. So, like, the character you see on camera, that's not CG. That's not, like, that's, like, just like they use R2, and he was real for other than the flying part and things like that. He's a real thing. Like, he's really rolling around on set. And one of the pictures from the Entertainment Weekly pictures, you see JJ, what looks like he's talking to BB-8.
Yeah, he's like kneeled down on him.
Yeah, and it's like he's giving him direction like he would a normal actor. Yeah. Which is funny.
On this,
like,
next take, I need you to deliver it a little bit differently.
Yeah, because, like, a couple pictures before that, you see him talking with Harrison Ford, and Finn, John Boyega's character, Finn, is also standing there. And they're obviously talking about the scene they're shooting or getting ready to shoot or whatever. And, like, it's the same thing, but then he's doing it with BB-8, and it's like,
funny.
It's funny because you're not real. Yeah. I mean, you are, but you're not real. You know what I mean? Like, if you need to tell someone what he needs to do, you need to go to the guy with the remote control. Yeah.
In this scene, I really want you to emote. I really want to see the emotion on your face.
I just imagine JJ's, like, assistant director standing back, like, does he know that's not real?
I feel like maybe JJ is just talking to BB-8, wishing he was able to talk to Hayden Christensen for the first two. Like,
I'll
no,
tell you right now.
Please, different. Anything else
already?
What
the
you're
few
doing.
Scenes we've seen with BB-8, he
better
already
acting.
Has better acting.
You
skills
just that
better.
The that scene they show him kind of sneak past the corner,
like
look
over.
It's way better acting than the fucking
Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, at any point. Yeah, and the other thing I noticed too is, like, when BB-8 was first shown, I felt like I thought it was gonna be really small.
It's that
and it's
shot.
Much bigger now.
Yeah, that shot, because when we first see him, he's.
It's an isolated shot. It's just him.
Yeah. Well, you see him rolling across it. Then you don't think near him.
Yeah.
But now
some other pictures and stuff come out.
And even the newer trailer.
Pretty,
the newer
like
trailer
he's not as big
him.
As R2, but he's not nearly as small as.
I don't think he's as tall
be.
As R2, but
he's just
yeah.
as wide. It looks like, yeah. but not as tall. But like,
because once you see him at when you saw him at D23. You saw he was actually pretty substantial in size. Like, he rolled out and you're like, oh.
Yeah, well, I never saw that. I'm just going right off of, like, the clips and actual footage that are being released.
Like, he's, like, the like actual, like, real thing.
It's pretty cool.
So, yeah. What else? About the new one?
Getting closer, movies? Kids.
Yeah.
We're supposed to get a trailer tomorrow.
More footage tomorrow.
More
not
footage.
A trailer. Yeah,
a
more
trailer.
Footage.
More footage tomorrow.
On ABC.
So
when we say tomorrow,
Thursday. So it'll be
Thursday,
yesterday.
So yesterday
you.
When you're listening to this.
If you listen to us on Friday.
Or, well, yeah.
Thursday, November
12th.
12th. There will be more footage released for Star Wars. Probably the last set of footage, I'm
probably,
guessing.
Probably, because we're right
we'll
there.
Have the TV spots. They. If I read
they keep
it correctly,
throwing little
five?
Sprinkles of new stuff in the
they have
TV
five
spots.
TV spots they're supposed to have. And
that's one
supposed
where
to be focused
Leia.
On...
Or, doing the voiceover on it was pretty dope, dude.
Yeah, the newest with the generation one. Yeah. So there's five. They said it's going to focus on five different characters. Or basically five different points of view for those characters. So this one, I think, was Han. Or the kids. You'll probably get one from Han and Chewie. I don't think you'll get one for Luke. I think that's still going to be their big secret.
Wouldn't it be super dope, though, if, like, the last, like, footage released, like, 2 weeks before the movie or a week before the movie is just, like, the Star Wars thing, the like, the orchestra going and, like, a pan up and Luke just pulling the hood off and that's it. Just a quick glance just so you're like, motherfuckers, he's there. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dope. I love how they've already built in anticipation just within the trailers from not showing
the lack of stuff from the trailers.
Yeah.
Like, it was either going to be Luke or Han, you know? And
I think it's better to be Luke.
Yeah.
Maybe because, like, I remember the first time we all watched the teaser. Well, okay. I remember the reaction from Comic-Con when the teaser first happened and people just erupting. Everyone else saw it on the internet a couple weeks later. We saw it in the theaters and people were like, oh, like it's just like that. Like when you see Han and Chewie for the first time on camera, everyone was just super excited.
And
about
it's the first lines too uttered.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. So anticipation for sure built up.
Yeah. Literally just by not showing a character that everybody wants to see. Cause they showed everyone else. Mm-hmm. You know, had some good looks at pretty much everybody. Except for one guy.
Yep.
And he's pretty pivotal in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, he's kind of important. His name's kind of important. All right, so are we done with Star Wars for now?
Yeah.
So that's episode two.
Your shirt reminded me of what I want to talk about.
Say it.
So a couple of us saw Spectre, the newest James Bond movie.
It was
this
awesome.
This past weekend. Spectre. It was awesome.
Spectre. No.
It was awesome. It's not pronounced Spectre. It's pronounced Spectre. It actually stands for something. It's an acronym.
What's it stand for?
Special
people eating.
I can look it up. It's special. It's like basically it's like the group is funneling money for world domination, essentially, is what it comes
Hydra.
Down to.
So it's Hydra?
It, kind of, except for like not
superheroes.
Yeah, like, well, Bond's pretty fucking close to superhero.
Yep.
And lucky as shit. But it was awesome. The only problem is it sets up the start of the classic Bond movies with Spectre, because if you don't know Spectre is the force that Bond and MI6 and even the CIA fight against all the way through the Sean Connery, the Roger Moore, the Daltrey, and what's his balls, the other guy made one movie. They're the bad guys he fights against. Like, those are every villain you see, they are part of Spectre. Up until Pierce Brosnan, who doesn't really go against Spectre or even a villain, more of just organizations that are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you got into Daniel Craig ones or the Craigverse, those ones, he was fighting against a shadow organization, but each movie had that one villain in it.
Yeah.
Like they had, and so in the first one, you had in Casino Royale, you had the dude that busted his nuts up in the chair.
Le Chiffre.
Yep. The second one, even though they say it was white, but it wasn't, it was the dude that had that crazy hotel in the middle of nowhere for some reason. Obviously, in Quantum of Solace. In Skyfall, he went against Silva, who ends up being, obviously, spoiler alert, used to be a 00. And then, obviously, in this new one, here's a spoiler for you I'm going to give you right now. You find out that what Spectre actually is, and Spectre's a thing, which is the same force he was fighting in those other three movies that we just previously said.
Mm-hmm.
But you find out that it's headed up by one person. Now, speculations of who Christoph Waltz's character actually was a really good secret, but also not a good secret, because he looked exactly like a villain from the previous movies, and it's our first time getting a villain from the previous Bond movies. His name is Blofeld.
Mm-hmm.
His character's name is hidden up until
damn near the last fourth movie. Yeah.
Like the last quarter of the movie.
Where he says, I take up my mom's last name and it's Blofeld.
Yeah, but like, and it's cool because it's littered through the entire movie is sprinkled all these little gems from all the previous movies. Oh. So not just Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, and Skyfall, but I'm talking Moonraker and Man with the Golden Gun and all these different ones that lead you up to basically this one. There's a meteor. The best part was, like, right before he says who his name is, there's a white cat sitting on the floor, and like, oh shit,
it's him.
Fucking Blofeld, like, he has a white cat.
Then the explosion happens, and he's got the cool scar.
Oh, he's got the fucking scar on the dead eye. Oh. I was like, oh, nailed this shit. Best part is, they didn't kill him.
Nope.
Yep. You know Spectre's a thing, and it is a force to fucking reckon with. They shake the foundation of the 00 group. They come back at the end, obviously, like they always do. But it basically sets up going into having all these awesome villains, where we talked about the other day, or a couple weeks ago on the show, where we'd like to see. Like, would we like to see a Moonraker redone? You know, that sort of thing. They're literally setting up for that. Because Blofeld's base looks like Moonraker, but on the ground.
Yep.
I mean, even has like the people wearing uniforms, like the astronaut, the spacesuits do. Like, other than not being Hitlerish and having blonde, blue-eyed people and things like that, like male, female, it just had like these people working on the info on the computers and stuff. But they were in uniform. It was very space age looking. Before it completely got decimated. You have the reckoning of Bond. You have Bond causing that problem and overcoming literally death traps. Like, he has him strapped to a chair. He fucking drills holes in his head Like he's like he's not like you're like and then what gets him away? One wee bit of gadget. A Splodin' watch, and like it's so fucking dope. And it's funny because like I'm not spoiling this for you because if you wouldn't watch the movie, it's fucking told you right away.
Yeah,
this like is so foreshadowed. Basically, might as well just hold a sign saying this will come in handy later. Like literally, Q says the alarms is extra loud or something like that.
Yeah.
Like it'll like the alarm's super powerful, and he goes wink. You know what I mean? Like and so like that sets it up, and like it's just. So well done. The problem I have is this is Daniel Craig's last Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's said in interviews.
Now, maybe. Yes. Well, yeah. Yeah, so like the success of it, I think, is might lean him back to doing another one. But
he's been super grumpy lately, though.
Well, probably. I mean, when you see this movie, you'll understand why. He got his fucking ass handed to him.
He did. Yeah, but like he's been especially like kind of cunty to people lately.
The well, the interviews that he's done.
Some
yeah.
of
the
interviews though.
And then like the red carpet stuff where he's just all mopey fuck the whole time. Yeah. It's like, come on, man. It's not Cowboys versus Aliens. You're doing okay.
So like the because it's the end of his Bond contract, this is his fourth movie. It just makes me upset cuz they set it up for so much more. Like they set it up.
Well,
for
maybe
him
now
to,
they just slide another actor in. And
that's the thing is
going.
Like we were talking about this yesterday, last night too. They have this line which I thought was gonna be something more, and Joe agreed with me. They mention 009.
Yeah, just straight up mention.
They like mention like this Aston Martin is for 009. Bond then steals it. Spoiler.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, oh shit,
kills.
You're
Bond.
Like, oh, 009 is gonna be in this somehow because. The entire movie is leading up to Bond not being Bond or not being a 00 anymore.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, so 009 is going to take his spot, which is weird. They jumped three, but whatever. And the best part is they mentioned Felix in this one, too. If you don't know Felix, who's a CIA counterpart
Bond, yeah.
He actually mentions my CIA contact, Felix. I was like, oh, are they showing him? And they don't.
No, they don't.
He was in Casino Royale, but that's okay.
They totally die hard to him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So... So you hear it and you're like, oh, cool. So at the end of the movie, you're gonna meet 009, right?
Yeah, fuck dude, you. They had a perfect scene.
Fuck,
that
perfect.
They could have introduced a totally new Bond and still have him a 00 agent because you would think 009. Credit scene where you hear an elevator coming down into the Q's new like underground,
the quartermaster area.
Yeah, and doors open up and you're like. Oh my God, are they going to show a new guy? Nope, it's Daniel Craig.
So it's Daniel Craig, and you're like, okay. So maybe they're going to meet him. You know, he's like, I got one more thing for you. He's like, oh shit, like, okay. And then he's like, you know, he looks at the car and boom, it jumps outside. And then, like, he drives away with the damsel. I was like, wait.
That was it. He went there to pick up his old Aston Martin.
Yeah, it was like the one from Skyfall. Got
the one from Skyfall.
Beefed up.
Yeah.
But I was like,
that was it.
But you well, told
cool
us
though,
that
like,
was 009, though.
So now, like, you can go a couple of ways with the new ones, because I haven't seen it, so I'm just guessing from what you just told us that either A, you can have Daniel Craig come back for a little bit and, like, one more, but kind of pass the torch to another 00 who could have his own series of movies, and then Bond, not take up the mantle of Bond, but just be another 00 so you can... have a new fresh twist on the character, and Bond himself can come back later on,
mm-hmm.
like the end of like a couple movies from now to help out with something, or like since they're setting it up so well, and if Daniel Craig doesn't want to do any more Bond, you just bring in a new person to be Bond, and we're just like, it's Bond,
so
you know,
change characters
we change it, and but we're continuing the storyline, so
because how somehow Sean Connery becomes. Roger
it's really the only it's really the only well-known movie franchise that can get away with that because they just did it so early on and people were like whatever cool you
five
know
times. Well four times and then many years later they brought Bond back and then a few years after that obviously like it went from the Bronverse I guess you could say Pierce Brosnan into the Daniel Craig so he had his pockets I mean, was it four too right it wasn't that's weird
that Pierce Brosnan?
Pierce Brosnan was four, right? Or was it three?
You had GoldenEye. You had...
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yep. And something never...
Never Say Never.
Was it Never Say Never?
I think so, yeah.
No.
I can look
Die
it up.
Another
I
mean, Day.
Die Another Day.
I think there was a fourth one.
Mm.
Hold on.
Mm. I
think so.
Well, I was already on Wikipedia.
Because you have the one, obviously, the satellite one was GoldenEye. You have...
the best of
the,
those ones.
The news one was Tomorrow Never Dies. And
the last one was Die Another Day.
Yeah, which was the ice
invisible
one.
Car.
Yeah, Invisible Car and Ice. So he's only done three.
And the diamond-faced fuck.
Yeah, which was pretty awesome.
What, just the diamond face?
The diamonds inside. Yeah, and he's like, my face is blinged. He didn't. He wasn't really like that, but like, that's how I imagined he was, like, behind doors.
Yeah.
He closed the door, and he looks at himself in the mirror.
Rap.
Was it four? What was the fourth one?
GoldenEye, Tomorrow Never Dies, The World Is Not Enough, and Die Another Day.
Die Another Day. What was... I can't think of the plot of that one.
Which one? Die Another Day?
Yeah.
That's the one with... is that the one with Christmas Jones?
Oof.
Oh, the oil.
No, that's the one. That's the one. No, that's the diamond one.
Yeah.
No, that's a diamond one. Then the other one is the oil one. Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
That's Christmas Jones. Yeah.
Where
What's Their Fuck was supposed to be like a
Halle Berry.
No.
Well, Halle Berry was Die Another Day.
Die Another Day.
What's Charlie Sheen's fucking wife?
Yeah.
She was supposed to be like the smartest woman
Richards
in the world.
Something. Denise Richards.
Denise Richards.
Yeah. She's supposed to be a scientist.
Keith Richards.
Richards. Keith.
Probably more.
Keith Richards. Was it Keith Richards?
Yeah, because you have...
It's a jackal? It's a jackal.
Johnny Depp's dad?
Yeah,
was it Jack Sparrow? It's Jack Sparrow. Was it Jack Sparrow?
Black Pearl. Black Pearl? Pearl? Davy Jones.
Ron Pearl?
Giant Squid?
Ron Pearl. It was Ron Pearl, right?
Ron Perlman? Sons of Anarchy? Jax. Jax Teller? But guys, I don't think that was Denise Richards. Sorry. We got to...
6 degrees to Ron Perlman. No, it wasn't.
Cody looks so disappointed in us right now.
So mad right now.
Anyway, it was Denise Richards, and she was supposed to be smart, which is a stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And had one of the worst pickup lines ever in it. Open that present. Ugh. Sorry. So,
I will say, at least with the Daniel Craig movies, we got rid of those horrible, awful, awful Bond girl names.
Yeah.
Which is good because they started to get pretty freaking off the wall.
I thought Christmas only came once a year. Anyway.
What was Halle Berry's character's name?
Dumb cunt?
Whoa.
No, that's more of a
something
nickname.
Like Storm, I think, was...
I think you're confusing X-Men. Oh, my God, I hate you. Let's end this podcast.
Jinx was her nickname.
Jinx.
She was...
Sounds like a cat's name to me.
I hate you so much.
Jinxy.
Even the Pierce Brosnan one had some, like, obviously Christmas Jones, but, like, Miranda Frost.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. You know? At the Daniel Craig movies is when they stopped that.
Yeah. So brings me up to the Daniel Craig ones. Makes me mad because Skyfall sets up the new M. So again, spoilers if you haven't seen it, go fuck yourself. Sets the new M. You get Moneypenny. So you get the secretary, you get that like classic ones. You get a new vital or young
Q.
Not that Michael Caine wasn't or not, not or Michael Caine.
No.
John Cleese wasn't dope.
There you go.
I said that the other day, and I was like, that doesn't seem right. John Cleese wasn't dope as Q, but obviously you got the new Q in Skyfall. You got a new M. You got Moneypenny. And in this one, they're all set up as that team. And you set up Spectre. You set up Blofeld as being like the first classic Bond villain in the new age. And then you're essentially done with that Bond. Like, I'm happy if a 009 comes in and takes over. Obviously, these ones aren't called 009. These ones are called 007. They have their own names. They go under the moniker 007, but they also go under the name James Bond. So it's like, it'd be weird if he wasn't James Bond. So I don't know. It's super strange. I don't know how they're going to do it, but...
Well, it could be... Well, it wasn't very successful with it, but it was kind of like the Bourne movies. They moved to Bourne Ultimatum, and
it wasn't
Bourne.
It had nothing to do with Bourne, yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, it was the storylines, it was in the background, and it went on during.
Mm-hmm.
But it made sense. People shit on the idea, but to me, it made sense to have, because there was always other stuff going on with that organization, so I was okay with the idea of not having Jason Bourne in it.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously, they built into the into Jason's story that there was a a failure in that in Treadstone. So there was another project they were doing, and that other project happened to be Jeremy Rayner's half of it. It did still fall into the Bourne, but because it interacted with that story, it wasn't like
but people couldn't understand
the first. You know, it wasn't like the first three ones. And
everybody that didn't like it thought, I don't understand why they didn't just bring Matt Damon back to play Jason Bourne. I'm like, well, one, you didn't watch the movie, man.
Yeah, because it wasn't Jason Bourne.
It wasn't a Jason Bourne movie. But yeah, all right. Anything else?
Nope.
No.
That's it.
All right. Wrap it up, Cody.
Boom. All right. Comes naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. That's it for this week, kids.
Next week, episode 3.
Continuing the
see Vader
road to Star Wars.
On screen.
3's better. 3 is the best one of the prequel trilogy. Except for that part. Anyways,
that's all I remember.
So we'll go
more like boo.
More like you shut your fucking mouth.
I become a bad guy because I destroy my own life. And my wife dies during childbirth
of a broken heart, which is not actually a thing you can do.
It's like
medically she is
from,
fine.
From
I don't know why she is dying.
Anyways, we'll talk about this next week.
That's right.
So
yeah,
just
remember
like,
where the red fern grows.
Hey,
now I just think that's exactly where they stole it from. Sorry.
You read the book?
Yeah, it's so sad.
Jesus Christ.
They made me read it in like second grade. That's
You're like, what's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? I'm a child. I shouldn't be feeling these types of emotions.
These dogs, one of the dogs gets gutted. Like he gets disemboweled.
Can we just watch Where the Red Fern Grows?
No, because I don't want to cry.
I'm going to go watch it tonight.
No, you're not.
Tomorrow.
All right, so that's it for this week. So as normal, guys, you just came naturally.
That sounded even creepier than usual. Bye-bye, everybody. I wanted up just-